Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Oh, that was a quick call.
Yeah, it was a quick
call. He wanted it. Did you even see the coin flip, Gator?
I mean, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, just making sure. I felt like he might
have. He was quick to pull it away.
Exactly.
He was all heads.
All right. Okay, here we go.
All right, I got it. He's throwing the phone in my face.
Divisional weekend football questions here. Question number one. Where does Sam Darnold end up next season?
Back in Minnesota on a franchise tag. They have a ton of cap space. And look, they know they got a guy that can make the playoffs with him because they did this year, and somehow they won 14 games. I don't want to take away credit from him completely, but they can't know on JJ yet. JJ needing a second procedure on his knee is a tough break for them because they probably would be able to get a sense and see him practice a little bit before they had to make the decision. But I think it makes the most sense to bring him back on a franchise tag. They got cap space to do it. And let JJ battle for the job, and then they can make a more informed decision 1 year from now.
Sam Darnold must do everything within his power to remain in Minnesota. He will not find a better situation that's out there right now. You just don't have it. There's no way you can tell me any of these other open quarterback situations are even half as good as what he's got in Minnesota. The reason he was able to resurrect his career, so to speak, was because of all the offensive weaponry he has at his disposal. That arsenal is amazing, and he did really well with it until the Lions, you know, just smacked him back down, and the Rams did the same thing. Those are the only two teams to beat Minnesota all season long, in the regular season and then in the postseason. It was two stretches of two losses in a row to Detroit and Los Angeles. I don't believe in Sam Darnold, but he was really good with Minnesota. I think the Vikings would be foolish not to bring him back, like Doug said, at least on a one-year deal. I don't think I'd franchise him because I don't think you have to franchise him because I don't think any other team is going to give him some sort of long-term, you know, four-year, $200 million deal that you would give a quarterback. I think you can get him for less than that, and that's the approach I would take if I were Minnesota. We'll bring it back for a year, but it's going to be at a discount. We'll give you like $25 or $30
million. Interesting. You guys both go with the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings want him back. I think they're ready to move on with the J.J. McCarthy era. Thank you for all the memories. You did great. What a run we had, but it's over. I think it's the Raiders, and I think that Sam Darnold is the perfect bridge quarterback. Now, did he lose some money the last couple games that he played? Yes, he did. But overall, he gained money because the whole season, you have to look back at it and be like, hey, guess what? With the maybe right supporting cast, the right coaching, he can help you win some games. Now, maybe not 14 games, but he can help you get to the next quarterback. And I think the Raiders are in a position where they need that veteran quarterback, and he's shown he can do something until they get their real quarterback in there. I think he goes to the Raiders. All right. Who has more on the line this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
I think it's Lamar Jackson because the media is so quick to turn on him and anoint Josh Allen as the next big thing. So there's more pressure on Lamar. He's got to prove he can win in the playoffs because that's the knock on him. He doesn't win enough. A 2-4 record right now in the playoffs. He's got to improve that. And the game they've got coming up on Sunday is a monster game. We're all going to be tuning in. We can't wait to see it. I think Lamar is an outstanding quarterback. I think that too many people just look at what he does with his feet and not enough people are paying attention to where he's throwing the ball accurately on time. He had a ton of touchdowns this year, touchdown passes this year. I think the pressure is on him, though, because you know the more you build somebody up, the bigger the distance is for them to fall down. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for Josh Allen to overtake it so they can stop talking about the Lamar Jackson narrative.
I feel like the Lamar Jackson narrative is somewhat cemented. I feel like the Josh Allen narrative could take a huge turn if they lose at home for the third consecutive year in the playoffs. So I'm going Josh Allen has more to lose here because I think the opinion of him in the postseason can change more.
I think you're both kind of right. So I'm going to go with Lamar right now. He's got the two MVPs. That's why, you know, so many people expect so many things from him. He might have a third MVP at the end of this season. But if Josh Allen doesn't win this game, Doug, you're right. At home, I don't care. He needs some heat on him as well at this point. And he might win the MVP of this season. You know, everyone sees what he can do, and he makes some amazing and great plays, but at some point, you got to get over the hump. And I think if he doesn't beat Lamar this year, he's going to start feeling Lamar heat that Lamar gets for the last couple years. All right, sticking with the quarterbacks. Is Justin Herbert overrated?
No, I actually think he's properly rated. I don't hear too many people going off on how good he is. I think he is good. He is short of being elite for sure, and I'm not sure he's really good, but I think he's properly rated. He's a quarterback that could really benefit. His reputation could really benefit from a playoff win right now, but the bottom line is here, I don't hear too many people raving about Justin Herbert, so I think he's properly rated.
I guess I hear more people raving about Justin Herbert. I think he's overrated. I thought he was overrated in college. I get it. He's got the tools. He's got a big arm. He's a bigger quarterback. He can move a little bit. He's got all those things. But when it comes to the big game, he doesn't get it done. He's had amazing regular seasons. He's had a 5,000-yard season. He had a season where he just got done throwing for only 3 interceptions in a whole year. That's great. What happened next? Loss. 14 out of 32. 4 interceptions. Come on.
I think he is overrated. And I think it's because no one wants to really criticize him, which makes him overrated, I think. Like, I think they see the skill set, kind of like with Josh Allen. He's a big, strong-armed quarterback. He's pretty mobile. Not as mobile as Josh Allen, but he's got to win at some point. And I think Jim Harbaugh put him in really good positions this year. I know they didn't have maybe the necessary weapons that he would like to have eventually because they kind of just kept, you know, they dumbed it down for Herbert this year, kept the turnover rate really low, leaned on the defense. But they were a favorite going into Houston. I know they were the road team, but they were the favorite. And I think the receivers did let Herbert down, but ultimately you're the quarterback of the team. So in the end, I think he is slightly overrated. All right, would Deion Sanders work in Dallas?
I don't see how it can work for him in Dallas because I think there's only room for one ego in control in Dallas, and it's Jerry Jones. Deion's got an ego, but I think it's in a good way. And Deion is a control guy, but I think in a good way. He's proven that at Colorado. I think, you know, once he gets going and he gets people to buy into it. And he's a great salesman. I can't wait to see what he does. I hope he stays at Colorado because it's a whole new ball game for him coming in without his kid being the quarterback or having the best player in the country, you know, play every snap of on the field. But I don't think it would work out in Dallas. Dallas needs to have somebody, you know, unfortunately, until Jerry changes his ways, and I don't think Jerry's changing his ways anytime soon, they need somebody that's going to be in lockstep with what Jerry wants.
I got to tell you, much of what Gator, I completely agree with him. I don't think it'll work because of the clashing egos, and Jerry wants somebody to do his bidding, and I don't think Deion is that kind of guy. I'm rooting for Deion. But as a coach, I think he still needs to prove that he can win without Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Because having those players is one thing. What are you going to do now that they're gone? And so I like him. I'm rooting for him. I think he's a good coach. But doing it without those guys is still important to prove he's a good coach.
Yeah, but you know what? If he goes to Dallas, he didn't have to do it without Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, and Travis Hunter. He could do it with Dak Prescott, you know, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. So the question is, I think he's a leader of young adults. Is he a leader of men? I think in today's NFL, I think he is. And I think it would work for a short period of time. This would run old quick. I think maybe 3 years. Might be a Jimmy Johnson situation. I don't know if he gets the Super Bowls or anything like that. But I think they make the playoffs again. They're in the running for the Super Bowl. But then at some point, the egos do clash. And all right, we've had enough. We went it 3-4 years. We tried it out. We won. We didn't. Whatever. But I think it would work initially.
I can't get away from Dallas radio.
All right, Peyton Manning said on the Manning podcast or Manning cast this week during the Rams game that you don't have to give your offensive linemen gifts. He's hearing all these quarterbacks give their offensive linemen these extravagant gifts. He said, actually, if they didn't make the playoffs, Manning wouldn't give his offensive line anything. Are you with Manning on this?
No, I'm not. These aren't trophies. It's not like I'm endorsing participation trophies, but there aren't hard and fast rules for gifts. Like, if you want to gift somebody something, feel free to gift somebody something. So no, I'm not on board with him on this.
I think there are two things really interesting about this. The first is Peyton Manning made the playoffs 15 out of 17 years.
So 2 years he didn't give the
offensive line. Right, exactly. One of those is rookie season. So, you know, maybe a little tone deaf on this thing when you made the playoffs every year. The other thing is, it's really interesting. He's talking about it as he's watching Sam Darnold hit the turf again and again and again and six more times for 9 sacks in the game. I mean, I think it, and in the moment, it'd be really hard to endorse Sam Darnold to say, go ahead and gift your offensive lineman when he's picking himself off the field 10 times.
So I kind of think he's right. He did say, listen, these are gifts. You don't have to give them out. You know what I mean? So you kind of earn them. It's like, it is Christmas. Were you good? Were you bad? Depends on the kind of gift you get, if you get a gift at all. So I kind of understand where he's coming from, but they're your old line, man. You got to keep them happy somehow, some way. You got to give them something. Even if you don't make the playoffs, a little something, you know, for the effort in case they come back next year. All right, last one. This one's going to be a college football one, guys. The college football title game is between two teams that didn't win their conference, and they both suffered the biggest upset losses of the year. And in the end, it meant nothing because they're playing each other for the title. Is this a good thing for college football?
Well, they went to the 12-team playoff format. So what you have is a mini tournament, okay? This isn't just we're going to pick the 4 teams and throw them in there, or the top 2 teams and put them in there like the BCS. This is actually a tournament to get in. So the format allows for you to have a hiccup. These are two of the blue bloods of college football, right? These are two teams that people would like to see match up year in and year out because it's always going to be a good matchup because they are good year in and year out. So they lost a game earlier in the season. Okay, what did you do lately? Well, lately they picked themselves up and they won those games. Ohio State convincingly against the SEC, and Notre Dame went off and rattled off, what, 10, 11 straight wins? They've earned their spot in this final, and I think it's great.
I can't believe you gave us this question, because to me, this is not a short story. This is a novel. So here's what they did. Is it good for college football? And does it matter about those big playoff losses? Well, it doesn't matter because the playoffs are so big. So I guess the core of this question is, having a big playoff good for college football? And they have to have a big playoff because the conferences are too big. You're crowning conference champions that play half the league. So it's a watered-down champion. In my world, the playoff would have been 6 or 8 teams, and conference champions would be guaranteed spots. But you can't do that when you have 18 teams in a conference and you only play half of them. So at the core issue, what's bad for college football, in my opinion, is the mega conference. If you didn't have the mega conference, you wouldn't have to have a playoff this big. And you could see, if you wanted those losses to be punishable, they would be. But they've had to make the playoff this big because the conferences are so damn big, and the conference championships are watered down. I mean, Indiana, would they have won the Big Ten if they had to play Penn State and Oregon? You know, I mean, they didn't have to play a bunch of teams. So, no, I don't think this is great for college football, but it's also year one, so I don't. Let it cook, and then we'll decide.
I don't think it's good for college football, but I don't know what college football is anymore, and that's the issue. Honestly, I don't want it to be like the NFL. I want it to be different. The best things about college football are going away. The best things, like the upsets, not winning your conference, all that stuff, it used to matter because it was college football. But I don't know what college football is anymore, so I don't think this is good for college football. It may be good for whatever they're trying to make it now, but for me, who was a college football fan, not good.
There it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down Around the League Blitz thingy. Hey, get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel, because right now all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay for any game. Just place a 3-leg NFL same-game parlay, and you'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Same-game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you on FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Make sure you do that. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Maximum wagers $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.